Welcome to ChrisCast, episode 24, season 2, about 9/11. Sort of my memories of 9/11. We're up to 19 years later, so I'm going to be using a little bit of my memories from back in those days. I've been blog posting it over and over again. I didn't have any personal experience, personal danger, simply, you know, my experience, and I'm going to share it with you as part of the podcast after this after these messages. By the way, I was in Washington, D.C. at the time. Hey, welcome back. This is season 2, episode 24 of ChrisCast. My name's Chris Abraham, and this section is cutting in front of another section, which I think was confused and wasn't the kind of tone that I wanted this particular podcast about 9/11. I wanted this podcast to be. So I will interrupt the other one, though we'll leave it in, because it does a pretty good job of recounting the experiences that I had when I was there, or a year after. Man, I got to go back to memes.org and see if I can find that stuff. Anyway, on 9/11, I realize now, I forgot for a little while, but after reading the stuff I'd written, I was sleeping over at my ex-girlfriend's house in the condo she moved into because my apartment was filled with visitors and roommates. So Kate, my roommate, was there, and Isa from Germany was there. So instead of sleeping on the small IKEA love seat, I decided instead to sleep over at my ex-girlfriend's condo, which isn't awkward at all. She was really sick, so in the morning, either that or she was desperately trying to make sure I didn't want to have sex with her, but I'll assume she was sick. So I left the apartment really early before leaving, because, you know, you've got to move your We shared a dog named Susie and a 1999 Jeep Grand Cherokee in dark, beautiful dark gray, even through the end of the lease. It was leased. And so I needed to move the truck and go home before DC becomes a you can't park here, it's time to move rush hour parking place. So I went to a convenience store, I think it was the 7-Eleven, and I picked up a ton of stuff. Like, you know, I think I got Gatorade and water and snacks, and I think I got NyQuil and DayQuil and all the quills. And I went back, gave her the stuff, which, you know, probably would be fine for a week, and then jumped in the truck and headed from DuPont. She lived in the Chandra Levy building, and drove home via Mass Avenue all the way to the hill where I lived on 14th and A, pretty much right off of Massachusetts Avenue. And on the way there, it was a perfect day. I remember that. Perfect day. NPR loud, because that's how I roll. Windows open. And all of a sudden, on the radio, must have been, "Hey Google, when did the plane hit the first tower?"
"Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try."
Well, anyway, it was 8-something, and All of a sudden, the entire world stopped. People were looking out of their windows. It was announced to me on NPR. People were looking out their windows. Everybody was making eye contact, gesticulating and saying, "Can you believe this? This is insane." I don't know what the order was, but I do remember at some point hearing a giant explosion in the distance. And at that point, there was all kinds of rumors on NPR. Since I lived on the Hill in Washington, D.C., there were all kinds of rumors that that there was a bomb at the State Department, which was downtown, that there was a explosion at the White House. And at some point, I think from rereading my notes, I think it was when I was on the way back to pick up Michelle that happened. But I rushed home, got to the apartment. The girls, Issa and Kate, were already watching TV because my mom had called my landline and they had picked up and they were watching TV, which they never do. They were very anti-TV. I think it was just a 19-inch cathode ray television. And we just sat there. Once I arrived and the whole thing became clear, I turned around and I called Michelle, told her that I was going to pick her and Susie up. Because in my head, her apartment in DuPont, to me, was going to end up in becoming a blast radius for something, some sort of terrorist explosion or nuclear thing, or just some giant kiloton explosion that was going to result in her giant window in her studio apartment exploding inwards and killing her. So I loved her a lot. I didn't want to break up. I turned around, went back, suffered the traffic, picked her up, brought her back, and put her to sleep on on the love seat, which is okay because she's a little 5 foot tall, petite woman. And we spent the day like that. I believe at some point we sat there, we watched all the live stuff. I was on online constantly. I don't know where I was blogging or where I was sharing. I can't find the day of content. Maybe it was on memes.org. Maybe memes.org didn't exist by then. I will need to search all of my online platforms for September 11th, 2001. And man, it was completely crazy. Oh, and at the time, everybody thought this was going to happen across the entire United States. So the entire country was getting ready for, an airplane into San Francisco, an airplane into LA, an airplane into Chicago. I don't pronounce it like that. I say Chicago. An airplane into Atlanta and into any place else, Miami. Those things didn't happen at all. We also believed at the time that maybe people would be blowing up bridges like the Golden Gate Bridge. We believed that there was an explosion at the State Department. We ultimately discovered that a plane had driven itself into the Pentagon. That was the sound, the explosion that I heard muffled through the open windows of my Jeep. And that's how the day passed. When my upstairs neighbor came home, I think her name was Anita. Everybody ordered pizza around noontime from Al's Pizza right down the street. Al and his pizza restaurant, the only reason I say that they're Muslim is because Al gave me a Quran and I still own it. But I don't believe that there was really any blowback towards Al and his pizza restaurant. One thing I did read when I was rereading my notes is that very quickly after this happened, the day of, the morning of, there were already Humvees, Hummers, Humvees, military Humvees, and fully clad soldiers, all in battle gear at tactical and strategic corners all through DC. That remained so for a little while. And I told everybody, right, all of you, that I have aphantasia, which means that I can't really bring any visuals back into my mind's eye. So it's just sort of, memories. But by memories, I mean what I mean by memories, which are not visual, not auditory, and not smell-based. I do remember the blue love seat. I remember the 19-inch television. I remember the IKEA furniture all throughout the apartment. I remember picking up the stuff from 7-Eleven. I remember driving in the beautiful dark gray Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I remember how important it was for me to make sure that Michelle was safe. I would have stopped at nothing to make sure she came back to us deep in Capitol Hill. We were far enough even from anything interesting, short of a nuclear explosion, we would have been fine. Anyway, that's my memory. Share your memory with me, please, as soon as you can. Voicemail, whatever. What did you do on that day? My name's Chris Abraham, and you will have a lot more detailed stuff, pretty much awkward Chris reading off from blog posts that I've posted in the past and reposted ever since for the last 19, 18, 19 years. So enjoy, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Welcome back to episode 24, Chris Cast, season 2. I think I did this September 11th, 2002. I woke up on the day at around 7:19 in the morning at my ex-girlfriend Michelle's apartment. She had recently moved out of our shared apartment on the hill and into her new condo in the Chandra Levy building in deepest, darkest DuPont. I was there because she was sick. We shared a 1999 Jeep Grand Cherokee in dark gray. I don't know why I was there. I was there overnight and she was sick. And I got up, had some water, used the loo, and then left the little studio flat with our dog named Susie, rest in peace, up to P Street. Grabbed Michelle some food from the convenience store and a bunch of drinks and stuff. Kind of a care package. One collects for a friend who's under the weather. And since I overbuy, she could have camped out in her little apartment for a week on my supplies. After I made sure she was okay, she was still in bed, I jumped in the Jeep, and I must have spent some time with her She was under the weather because on my drive back from Michelle's pad in DuPont, I had the windows rolled down and Morning Edition on the radio. It was then that I heard about the 8:50 and 9:04 a.m. crashes into the World Trade Center, first into the first Twin Tower, and then the second. I remember that day. The weather was beautiful. I was taking Mass Ave all the way back. It takes me directly from DuPont all the way back to the apartment, pretty much all the way back to Lincoln Park. And the weather was pristine. It was in the low 80s. The windows down and the radio was loud. I looked over to other drivers and we shared crazy looks, like knowing looks. We all had heard about it in our cars. The looks were not terror. They were not panic. They were not even numb, dumb looks. They were looks of incredulousness. We were completely dumbfounded. And there were tons of rumors at that time. The rumors that I heard from Morning Edition was that there were reports that there was a bomb at the State Department. And at that time, at 9:30, I was driving fast down Massachusetts Avenue, returning from sleeping over at my ex-girlfriend's apartment, Michelle Nolan. I was staying there because, I was staying there because I double-booked my apartment for a friend named Isabel, Mark's friend, and then, of course, my friend Kate. So I was there sleeping on the love seat. I'm 6'3", or in the bed of a friend. Michelle was my friend. Michelle is my friend, and so are Kate and Isa. So I returned to the hill and was rounding Lincoln Park on 11th Street Southeast when I heard an enormous muffled but distant blast. There were rumors on the radio that there was a bomb at the State Department. Michelle worked at the State Department. So I hit the gas and hustled home to Isabel, to Kate, to the television, and to the phone so that I could call Michelle to see if she was okay. Before the blast, I was in the Jeep listening to Morning Edition on the radio. I was returning to my home office. I had the windows down and saw everyone in the other cars with looks of disbelief in their faces. My face must have been similar. Upon returning to my apartment, which I called the Grotto, I joined Kate and Isa on the blue IKEA love seat. They were hunched over, squinting at the little Sony 19-inch TV. That was the CRT, right? The old-fashioned one, with all their might. The room was dark. Kate told me my mom had called to tell me what was going on. When she called, Kate and Issa had turned on the TV. Neither of them watches TV. Only my obsessive NPR listening kept me informed as I returned from Michelle's. It was really only then did I recognize what was going on in New York City. It was only then as they alternated between live feeds and the looping footage of the crash of the two planes into what I knew as the Twin Towers, but now learned were called Tower 1 and Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. I had been in New York City just about a month previous. I had been staying in Brooklyn with Anne and Ian's apartment while they were gone. When they returned, I commuted into the city with Anne. She works for Moody's. Ian works for the Port Authority. She works right next to the WT Towers, and Ian worked in them. He had walked from the gorgeous walk-up apartment in Brooklyn to the subway. We had walked from their gorgeous walk-up apartment in Brooklyn to the subway. It was only a short ride to the subway right there at the World Trade Center. I walked Anne to her building, gave her a hug and a kiss, and then headed uptown to the trains back to D.C. So I was just there a little over a month before the terrorist event, but I hadn't realized it. When I realized the import of what was going on, That day, from the apartment in front of the TV, I called Michelle Nolan, my recent ex, and told her that I was jumping into the Jeep and dashing back over to DuPont so that I could collect her from her 10th floor condo right up the street from the State Department and relatively close to the executive branch. She lives in a studio apartment, one wall of which is glass, and she lives with our dog, Susie. So although she didn't want to come at first, I sped over there anyway to collect her, to collect them, Big Little Ers and Little Little Ers. Those were my nicknames for them. There was a lot of traffic forming. There were the first signs of the military. I hustled up 13 and then made it up to Florida and cut around above the city center. And after some nasty jams, I made it into DuPont. And there was Miss Michelle and Miss Susie all packed up and ready to bail. I got her in the car. As I said before, she was feeling sick anyway. She was looking kind of out of it. I knew I was kind of out of it. It didn't matter. When I need to perform, I always do, thank God. As I recall, there were already Hummers at some of the corners downtown, so I avoided downtown again. I tried my best to do the circuit, but I believe I took Mass Ave mostly. When I got back to the grotto with Michelle, Susie, Kate, Michelle, Issa, and I felt better. And by the time Anita was back home, she was my upstairs neighbor, and her crew was starting to drink some beers. Issa had made plans to bail down to the burbs to avoid the inevitable. I was blogging, sending emails on the kitchen table. Michelle and Kate were glued to the TV, and Susie was just chilling. She was good like that. Of course, the towers fell, and they fell, and many people didn't get out, of course, and there is something wrong when rescuers need rescue. By noon, Kate and I headed over to Al's Pizza to grab some pizza, and then there was the plane hijacked and apparently on its way to the White House, and then there was the report of it going down in a field in central Pennsylvania. Then I wrote, I just drove out to Target on Route 1. The car's bats were acting funny, so I wanted to get a charge on. So I went to Target so that I could buy a can opener and some laundry detergent and dishwashing machine liquid. I didn't see the damage to the Pentagon. What side was it on? I said. Anyway, aside from a little more intensity with regards to the police presence, all the roads are open. And I could even travel up Independence back to the pad. It was very weird to see it. Heal at least superficially so darn quickly. There were roads closed off, but I don't see the National Guard or anything. So that was my experience. Apparently, Washington, D.C. is the least affected by PTSD in the entire nation, despite our obvious vulnerability and the unpopularity of the current administration abroad. I don't know if this is very useful. Tomorrow, I'll do another one where I do this extemporaneously. I'm kind of reading from my blog posts, so that's it for now. If you have any questions about it, just let me know. For reference, I was living at 14th and A Southeast, so from the Chandra Levy building to 14th and A Southeast, 101 14th Street Southeast, is pretty much a straight shot by Massachusetts Avenue from DuPont, so that was pretty easy. Anyway, talk to you again from the other side. I know I kind of just called this in. Not the best podcast episode ever. I just wanted to get it down for the memory books. I will sort of noodle about it tomorrow as a follow-up after I have the whole 9/11 experience again. Maybe it'll rekindle the memories in my head and I will share it again extemporaneously. But there's a lot of stuff I didn't remember, like Kate and Isabel. Isabel was visiting from Germany, staying with me in the apartment, and I forgot about Anita. Beautiful Anita was upstairs. It was not Joel yet, and all that other stuff. Or was it? Anyway, I will talk to you soon. Don't forget, you can contact me at Chris Abraham on Facebook.com/Chris Abraham, although I'm in Facebook jail currently because I was messing around with a friend who is Canadian, and he didn't understand one of my posts, and I just wrote fucking Canadians, and to be honest, Facebook considered that a hate crime. So I'm in Facebook jail for 72 hours. Crazy. Which is okay. It's good to have a little vacation from Facebook. You can reach me at youtube.com/Chris Abraham. This podcast's home base is anchor.fm/Chris Abraham. You want to subscribe and pay me money, you can do it at anchor.fm/Chris Abraham/support. You can reach me on Instagram at Chris Abraham. You can text me at +1202-352-5051 or WhatsApp me. You can text me. You can email me at chris@chrisabraham.com or chris@abraham.su or chris@gerriscorp.com or chris@gerr.is. You can reach me at linkedin.com/in/chrisabraham. And I guess that's it. I don't know what I missed. Please come back. Please subscribe. Please be sure to write a nice review and give me 12 stars at Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever. And come back soon. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.